very often on websites online and on in magazines and different places like that, you'll find these lists of things that you should know about or things that you should have read, and the top 10 places you should visit before you die, or the 10 best books of last year, or all of these, you know, 15 things that you don't know but should. And I don't know about you, but whenever I come upon one of those lists, I look at them and I look at them very carefully. But not usually for revelation about what to do next or what to read next, but to confirm what I already know and to check off as many as possible that I already knew about. It makes me feel good to look at the top 10 books from last year and check off how many I've read. Sometimes we do that with knowledge. Instead of being open to more of it, we instead seize every opportunity to prove what we already know. Paul felt the same way, I think, about religious knowledge. I'm sure he studied the faith often, but only to reinforce what he thought he already knew. He thought he knew everything he needed at that point, and he was not open to a new way or new revelation. And even if he had had a feeling that there was some value to what Jesus taught, how painful would it have been for him to go from breathing threats and destruction to one preaching the way of the Christians? He was more interested in proving what he already knew or thought he knew and acting violently on it. All of us claim to want wisdom. We claim to want knowledge of the divine. But wisdom requires revelation, and revelation requires a mind and soul open to admitting wrongness, or at least admitting incomplete knowledge. Today in the readings, we have two contrasting examples about openness to knowledge. We have Paul's dramatic, coercive conversion, and we have the disciples' willingness to try another way. Paul was not willing to admit that he might be wrong until he was knocked to the ground and struck blind. At first, he doesn't even know who did it. He says, "Lord," to this force. But the word in Greek for Lord is the same as for Sir. And if somebody can knock you down and strike you blind, you're going to call them Sir. So he was still not sure that this was God until Jesus started speaking to him. And even after that revelation, that getting of his attention, it was a very humble follower of Jesus, Ananias, a man filled with fear at Paul's reputation and history, whom God chose to impart physical sight and spiritual vision to Paul. On the other hand, the disciples who were fishing were willing immediately to embrace the idea that they should fish on the other side of the boat. And they acted on that idea before they knew it was Jesus who suggested it. We all claim to want revelation. So what would it take for me or for you to have a great revelation about anything? First, it requires admitting that we don't know everything. Now, we recognize that fact in the abstract, but we're not so good with it in the moment. We might even have to admit, in order to embrace revelation, that we've been wrong at some point. We know that we're human beings, and we know that human beings are fallible, but in that moment, it is very difficult, especially in today's culture, to admit that we might be wrong. Catherine Schultz, an author, has said this about human fallibility. She said, "If fallibility is built into our very name and nature, it is in much the same way the puppet is built into the Jack in the Box. In theory, wholly predictable, but in practice, always a jarring surprise. We know we're fallible, but it still sneaks up on us and startles us. We begin to think, if we're not careful, that we already know everything we need to know, like Paul thought. We look at a list of possible revelations, not for guidance or inspiration, but for confirmation of our own intellect and worth. We've all done this. We've all been on this path of closed-mindedness. We've all been stubborn. We already know, so we don't need to listen to other sources of revelation, especially if that revelation might come from someone with whom we have disagreed about other matters. Sometimes revelation requires first something to knock us to the ground, like Paul, to get our attention. Many of us, myself included, only found God when knocked down so severely we thought we'd never rise again. Unless we are forced into it, we see change as weakness, and we cannot admit need or ignorance. Sometimes I hear people, and I even think this myself, why doesn't God speak to me more directly, more often? I think God probably does, and I've missed it. Because wisdom requires revelation, and revelation requires a mind open to gathering more knowledge. We are all so sure. But adamant certainty does not equal wisdom or knowledge. Paul was absolutely certain that he knew the truth. And in God's pursuit of bringing him to the real truth, he found himself blind and under the guidance of someone that a day before he would have had killed. We have to admit that some of the things we've assumed have been wrong. An author named David Brooks talks about what he calls a big lie. He says this: we've created a culture based on lies, including the one that rich and successful people are worth more than poorer or less successful people. The message of the meritocracy is that you are what you accomplish. If you perform well, people will love you. No wonder it's so hard to be an adult today. No wonder our society is fragmenting. We've taken the lies of hyper-individualism and we've made them the unspoken assumptions that govern how we live. How often does someone in our culture say, I'll be happy when, fill in the blank, or I would feel better if I could. We're always delaying because what we're doing isn't working, and we're thinking, any minute now, this will click in, and I will find happiness and productivity and worth. In our culture, think about how many people are unhappy. I think it's despair that comes not from failure, but from success. We get what we want, and then we find it lacking. We are certain that if we can just do enough and accomplish enough, we will be happy and find peace. And yet, if we listen to God, this is not a fact of life. It is dead wrong. All human beings are already the beloved of God, not only the accomplished ones. this American cultural bias keeps us from being open to God's revelation of what really matters and what will really bring us peace. One of the commentaries about this reading in Acts asks this question: what was your blinding light? What changed your mind? What caused you to see reality anew? In our times, what would make it even possible for you to see a different reality? What would it take for us to hear God's truth, especially if it's imparted by someone we do not respect? We have come to the sad place where we value being right over all else, even at the expense of wisdom and holiness. I will say it again. Wisdom requires revelation, and revelation requires an open mind and soul. Think about it. When was the last time you changed your mind about anything significant? And if you can't remember an occasion, how do you know God is not speaking to you right now?